Oh, no, no, it's bragging right. Because I know I'm doing this with personality. I'm on dating apps. I'm fully aware of, like, most people are not being like, swiping right on that dude just on the looks. I am better experienced in person. So if I'm able to fucking close, that says I'm doing it right.
Right.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to the drinkers, to the chuggers, and to everyone who swallows. This is Billy Presida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Bringing you sex-positive conversations every Wednesday for the last 10 years. Almost. We're almost at 10 years. Whoa. This week on the pod, I've got on my dear friend and fellow podcaster, Matt Slayer. He hosts And Now We Drink, which is a podcast, which you'll hear us argue. I don't know. Maybe it's the grammatical structure of the name of his podcast does make it sometimes a little awkward to say, but he disagrees and that's okay. It's his life. Some would say the Man Whore Podcast is a rough title because it maybe gives a little bit of the wrong impression of the tonality of the show. Makes it sound like I'm a bit of a bangs, bitches, bro, pickup artist, coach, Andrew Tate type, when really I'm just like a nice little mixture of a Marc Maron meets Dan Savage. But man whore, people get the... So maybe I fucked up. Anyways, you'll hear he and I banter quite soon in just a bit. He has had sex with a lot of porn stars. And that's worth talking about. But first, everybody, this Friday, the Naked Comedy shows are basically sold out. I think there's like 2 tickets left for each show. Sold out. So sorry. Shouldn't have waited. If you want to put the date in your calendar now, next month, we are doing some Naked Comedy on April 26th in Brooklyn. And you can sign up for email updates at manwhorepod.com. Our next... Movie night is next Wednesday, March 27th at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Me and my Patreon community, we come together every month and we watch a retro porno and maybe do a little bit of roasting and maybe we do a little bit of other stuff, but that's, you know, turn your camera, mute your mic, enjoy the film. We are watching the 1972 classic, The Godmother. The Godmother. Finally, a film for my people. Should I reach out to Tommy DeVito, see if we can get him to guest host Hot Movie Night? Become a member of my Patreon, and then I will catch you in the champagne room next Wednesday. I've got a couple of New York Times articles worth bringing up. The first one, many of you may have read or heard about, there was a fucking hit job done on Hacienda in the New York Times about a week and a half ago. It was a very upsetting article discussing sexual assault and rape and consent at. She says it's about at sex parties in New York City, but gosh, she does only focus on one party. Almost as if her or a certain person, source mentioned in the article, had it out for Hacienda. Maybe. Anyways, there are a few different types of replies that one can make to this article. The first is an editorial critique of how it's written, how it's structured. A lot of people who reached out to me about the article said, yeah, it didn't seem like there was a lot of there. It's a lot of really old incidents, and it looks like they are doing better policies, so I don't really know what I'm supposed to take away. You know, like the one loose thing that it feels like the writer, Sarah Mays Lanier, wants us to take away from is get cops involved? I don't know about that. I don't even think the women in the article, except one, felt, oh yeah, you know, I really wish I had gotten the cops involved. You know, the NYPD, who are so great at handling rape cases. I don't really know what the purpose of this article was, but you know, if you read the piece, you kind of just read it and you might take it at face value. My issues with it have to do with how Sarah conducted her research, how she reached out for comment to people in really shady, sketchy ways. And I question how she is using her source quotes, as she has a documented history of misusing, misquoting, right? I won't like go in and structurally break the entire thing down. But here's just a little thing to cast a little doubt. Not doubt on the women speaking about their own stories for the most part. I'm talking about doubt on Sarah and her words that she puts out there. She at one point, there's a sentence that's like, and one woman claims that her name was revealed to the person she accused. Accused of what, Sarah? There are a ton of little examples like this throughout the article, but in that, like, for example, that sentence, she doesn't go on to explain anything more. She doesn't say who the she is, what the incident is, just says name was revealed to the person she accused. The accusation in question is accusing someone of bumping into them, right? But you just say the person she accused, and what do we all think? We all thought, oh, wow, someone accused someone of an assault, and then they went and told that person. We're talking about bumping into. How do I know this? Because it's about me. Because Sarah reached out to me about that. I'm not twisting words. Everyone involved, including Jill, say it was a bump. Sarah turns that into an accusation. So now it makes me question everything else that isn't explained in more detail throughout that piece. Just a little example. Another way to reply to this article is to look at, well, how does Hacienda handle consent violations? I've been going to Hacienda over 9 years. I have seen a lot of different policies, including kind of no policy. Like, when I started going there, I think if you had a bad time, we'll say, I think you would just send an email, right? It wasn't really an organization back then. It was just like a party with a 100 slutty people, and everyone chipped in $30 for the cleaners and the food. I remember when they had anonymous reporting. I remember when they took away anonymous reporting. I remember when they introduced the Guardian system. Last year, they formalized the Guardian program and had us have like actual training for the Guardian program where everyone's on the same page. They have tried multicolored wristbands so people can non-verbally indicate the people. I've seen them try a lot of stuff. I see them always trying to evolve and change. I see Hacienda as an organization receive criticism, and then I typically see them act on that criticism, which goes to the third way you can look at this article and think about it is, okay, but like, and what about consent and safety at play parties at large? Daddy Dan Savage last week, you know, he tackled kind of that angle of it. I don't know how much he knows about behind the scenes about the writing of this article or about Hacienda, but he did speak to generally, hey, play parties are a risk. As multiple people in the article say, as well as a friend of mine who, you know, she goes to the parties and we were texting about it, and she said, I'm like 200 times more likely to have something bad happen to me at a bar than at a Hacienda play party. Even then, that's not really the point. You know, you can't judge a play party community on if consent violations happen. They will likely happen. That can range from rape, which even then I feel like the most blatant, violent form of that is hard to get away with when you're surrounded by a ton of witnesses. I mean, I don't know if y'all remember Rena Martin, I think it was like a month or two ago, was on the podcast, and she talked about doing some consensual non-consent with her partner, doing a lot of, no, stop. But the people around her didn't know that they were doing CNC, and people stopped to check in because that's a thing that happens. But yes, incidents can occur, whether they're on the more traumatizing end of that spectrum. And that can also just be simple consent violations. Someone touched my thigh while we were talking and they didn't ask first. That's also consent violation. And that's a nuance I don't think Sarah really understands because she doesn't go to play parties. And that's another thing that I question on. Like, how many of those, the assaults and accusations that she doesn't go into detail on, I mean, how many of those would you and I call an assault? And how many of those were, I was walking by and someone patted me on the butt while I patted by, which is not okay. Consent violation. It's just we don't treat that like it's a severe sexual assault. That's something we can go talk to somebody once and give them a warning about. play parties. You can build a container for safety, but part of building that container is about, and here's what happens when, not necessarily if something happens. The whole article is a fucking hit job, and honestly, I don't really understand editorially how it made it to print, but it did. And so many, you know, some of you were talking about it in our Discord server last week. Some of you reached out to me privately. I'm not going to link to it because I do not think it deserves any extra clicks, but if you want to find it, you can find it. Different New York Times article that came out. It was an op-ed over the weekend by a writer who I've been following for a long time and then just happened to come across her piece in the wild, Magdalene J. Taylor, and the piece is titled, "It's Not You, Dating Apps Are Getting Worse." Since my breakups plural with wallet note lady, when I was ready to get back out there and date again and meet new people and hook up, you know, I opened up my apps. I had not been using them very much. I powered back on that Tinder, that Bumble, that Field. But I noticed something different. I noticed, wow, I'm not really getting matches like I used to. And Magdalene kind of like alludes to this possibility in the piece, but it's like, maybe I got ugly. Maybe I got ugly. Maybe my charm has worn off. I don't know, but I do notice just, yeah, a lot less matches with a lot of the similar pictures that I had been using a year prior. Way less than I was getting pre-COVID. And apparently it's not just me. A lot of people have been noticing that the quality of the apps have been kind of going down. And a lot of people are also barely meeting up on the apps either. I don't pay for some premium extra VIP level thing. And maybe I should. Maybe that's the way it's going. A lot of these apps are now, as Magdalene refers to, you know, a lot of them are leaning into these paid subscription models to meet people. A lot of services in our lives are kind of doing that. They're all of a sudden, they were free for a while, and now all of a sudden they want your fucking money. And she refers to this as something called platform decay. Basically, the idea that like a lot of these apps and these platforms, they launched, they were free. They're like, hey, come use us. It was like free use, but for an app. They're like, yeah, you can use all of our features. Oh, yeah, you can. How much are we going to charge you? Nothing. Just a little bit of your private information and data, but otherwise, nothing. It's been a good decade or so of investment. Now a lot of these investors want returns, and that's why we're seeing a push for paid and for subscription. A lot of things. Photoshop. You can't buy Photoshop anymore. You have to subscribe to Photoshop. And we're seeing this on the dating apps as well. Combined with dating app fatigue that I think was already lingering right before we went into lockdowns. So if you're also getting dating app fatigue, I know it may be scary. I know it may like mean some time investment. It may mean going out into the scary world a little more, but meeting people out in that scary world. Whether you're out there just cruising and trying to look to meet people organically, or if you go to like a facilitated thing like some speed dating, get out there. Because the dating apps, they are worse. It's not just you. I'm glad to know it's not just me. I will link to Magdalene's piece in the show notes. Before I read this, I was thinking about maybe getting like on Hinge, like the paid Hinge, and give that a real go. This article is telling me to save my money, and I just might. Before I get to my guest this week, Matt Slayer, let's do the fan whore appreciation moment. This is the part of the pod where I give shout outs to members of my fan whore community on Patreon. I want to say thank you to Jeremy Brooks. You sure look like one lucky buffalo. You know what I mean. And I want to say a big, big thank you to Amber. I hear you do a lot of your best work in the morning. I hear you make a whole show and production out of it. Glad you can make some time to hang out with the whoreheads in the peep show and to support the Man Whore podcast on Patreon. And you too can become a member and receive a slew of great rewards, including an invitation to next week's Hot Movie Night. You also gain access to over 300 bonus episodes and the most V of the VIP. You know I'm seeing you in the Peep Show. Oh, you don't know what the Peep Show is? Yeah, because it's like my Patreon reward that's so cool. I'm afraid to advertise it. I don't want to attract the bad sorts or the wrong types. But if you know, you know that it goes down in the Peep Show. And you can only get in the Peep Show at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. This week's guest, Matt Slayer. He is the host of And Now We Drink. We've known each other a good number of years at this point. This conversation takes place, I don't know, roughly 55 minutes after I have landed in Los Angeles. I wouldn't say I'm my brightest-eyed or bushy-tailed, but Matt's easy to refer around with. Being as he has been in the adult entertainment industry in different capacities over a very long time, a lot of the people he ends up dating and hooking up with are very beautiful porn performing people. So you'll notice that's kind of the route we go down a bit here. In the very beginning, real quick, there's a reference to us both losing something, and that is one cheeky patron twisting the knife a little bit about how neither of us won an AVN for Best Adult Podcast. So that's what that means. Anyways, we're going to pay some bills with some of those commercial things, and then me and Matt Slayer.
We're dipping into the bottle of Elijah Craig first.
Okay, finishing that.
Killing that bad boy.
And that'll make you feel better after just crashing in a chair for no reason.
Gravity is a fucking bitch.
It wasn't when you sat down that it broke. It was after it's as if the chair sat there and weighed its options. And like, should we keep holding him up? And then they're just like, nah, I think we're good. And then you went smash.
Yep.
I can relate with I my feelings got really hurt once I was at a sex party and there's a stripper pole. And I went towards like semi end of night. It was the end of my night, I decided. But I just was like, oh, I'll jump on it too. And so I went to jump on it and the whole thing just dislodged from the ceiling. Me and the stripper pole go boom.
I just got the visual of it.
And the stripper pole is very popular. Because everybody was rushing and being like, is the pole okay? I am on the ground and everyone's checking on the pole.
Priorities.
Yeah. You know, it's like all these hot chicks wanted to ride the pole more than me. And this was pre-COVID. I think they like me a little more now. But jam, that hurt my feelings a little bit. I was like, someone pretend they care about me.
Right?
So, but I'm glad you're okay.
Am I though?
I don't know. Well, we can start with, Ask the Guests is a patron-only channel in my Discord server, the Champagne Room. And when I posted that I was going to be, having on the Matt Slayer of the And Now We Drink podcast, which has always been a podcast that I felt like the way it's titled always makes it very awkward for me to say, because I always want to put the definite article, the, before the name of the show. But the And Now We Drink anyways, that's not...
There is no the in the title.
Right, but if I want to say the, and then whatever the name of the title of a show is, he's on the Breaking Bad show.
Matt Slayer, host of And Now We Drink.
That's better. That is smoother.
Yeah.
There we go.
I've done this once or twice.
That's the intro. Well, there was one question in here. Chuck wants to know, does Matt regret doing his podcast since neither of you won?
No, because thankfully, neither one of us will have to fuck each other after this to win the award.
Well, do you think we'd win if we banged?
I mean, we'd win something.
I don't think so.
Oh, we'd win something.
I keep that's, I'm not going to fuck you. I'm not
going to fuck you either.
Okay, you're the one saying we could win something, though.
Yeah, it's the, I don't need the win that bad. I don't need the win that bad.
Everybody, hello. My dear friend in LA, Matt Slayer. Do you remember how we met?
Yeah, in the media room at AVN 18.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Okay. That was my first AVN.
Yeah, you walked in. I was already set up recording.
Okay.
I'd actually come across your name. You were like moderating a Reddit forum at some point around there, or? Well, your name, I recognized your name and like saw you walk in, like we bullshit for, I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard of you.
Oh.
Well, because when I first got into the podcasting space, I was looking for other shows in my genre,
right,
quote unquote. And the Man Whore podcast went, oh, okay, what's this about?
Okay.
And then met you in person, and somehow we became friends.
And did my my defense mechanism of being like a little bit of a holier than thou dick, that was that in play? Then
I don't recall. I was drunk.
Okay, good, good. I can sometimes do that.
Yeah, like I'm not dickish. Come on.
I was in the elevator coming up here. Said, "Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick." Said out loud to myself like a mantra. So be like, be nice. Like this is your friend. Like be.
But why change?
Because I want to keep friends around. You hit me with that real moment on the phone when you were on the phone with your friend and he had him on speaker and said, what's up? And he's like, just calling to check on you. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. And he's like, you were like, yeah, I've got friends. I'm like, oh, fuck, I should get those. But I'm glad to finally have you on for a real episode.
I'm glad I'm finally worthy of it after, like, you know, 6 years.
You live in L.A.
You have crashed on my couch on multiple occasions.
It was a different time.
Like, this will not bring in any ratings. We're going to test run it with Matt's funny story about collecting the AVN. See how that plays. 2-3 years later, maybe we'll have him on.
Oh, my God.
You've only been on my show like 2 or 3 times. So,
look, I think the last time I was like here in a fashion where we like were, I think last time I stayed on your couch, you were in a bit of a sad place. Didn't know if that was the right time. Like, I know you've slept with a lot of porn stars.
A few.
Okay, what's a few to you? Because, like, when people say to me, you've banged a bunch of porn stars, I mean, you sleep with one porn star, and people say you bang a bunch, right? The frame of reference is off. It's like how, like, vanilla people measure orgies as one orgy, two orgies, so many orgies. That, because most people go, like, one was a lot.
Well, I've slept with less porn stars than most of my friends.
Okay, but how many is that?
I gotta think about it. Like, I gotta think about
the number. I got time.
Well, good.
It's a long form conversational podcast.
I'm glad we'll have some dead air. Mark Maron?
It's.
Hey, I'm not editing this one. I'll let all the dead air happen.
I will. I'll let it sit there uncut.
It's your cut. It's your show. That's fine. Dare me.
Don't tabulate. Vaguely, even ballpark. Above or below 10?
Above 10.
Above 10.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I guess
I've slept with only a few porn, like proper porn stars. And even I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah, but my whole dating pool is people in the industry.
Like, I was curious. Okay, well, what was like Matt's self-esteem like in dating as a younger chap? You and I are both fellas who are not of like a thin persuasion.
I used to be.
Did you?
I was definitely thinner.
Okay. Well, I mean, not thinner is relative. Like, you know, were you like a considered a?
Hold on the fort for a second. I'm going to get you a picture of me from the 90s.
The 90s. Oh, yeah. I forgot because you're older. The 90s. I was a child. Oh, the long hair. Who is this man? Yeah. I mean, it's like a high school yearbook photo, but like, I've got the idea you were a different individual. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, nothing is more disheartening than posting like a throwback photo like this and having a bunch of girls now be like, oh, you were so hot. And I had no self-esteem at that point.
Right, and but do you feel like you have as a chunkier fella and an aged human? Do you find yourself with more self esteem now?
Tons. Oh, absolutely tons.
Because when you think of like who do porn stars bang in their free time, Pete, no one's drawing a picture of you and me.
No,
and yet we've slept with more porn stars than like some of our fitter friends. Probably all of our fitter friends outside the industry.
Yeah, like
right. You know what I mean? Like, do you ever get, like, surprised? Be like, there are dudes who, like, might rag on me for how I look, and I get professionally hotter pussy than them.
Oh, no. It's a bragging right. Mm. It's like, because I know I'm doing this with personality. I'm on dating apps. I'm fully aware of, like, most people are not being, like, swiping right on that dude just on the looks. Mm. I am better experienced in person. So if I'm able to fucking close... That says I'm doing it right.
Right.
I, as a 42-year-old, about to be 43-year-old man, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Okay.
If you don't like me, oh no. Uh-huh. If you don't approve of my lifestyle, oh no.
Okay.
And I think that rubs off. I think people appreciate that. That, like, I'm just going to say what I want to fucking say if I think it's funny, if it's not, whatever. I don't care.
Mm.
And that confidence, that not giving a fuck, is appealing.
And do you think that's like that maybe has been a little freeing for you?
100%.
Yeah. When was like the last time you cared what a chick thought about you? Woodstock 2002.
No.
Jennifer, we carpooled.
Well, and I'm not saying I'm completely free of, you know, all cares, but it's not until like there's an emotional connection that I start giving a fuck.
Okay.
So there have definitely been women in my life where I gave a fuck.
And I'll let you drop names as you feel comfortable. But so when I say like a who, you can be descriptive if you don't want to say a name. But when was the first time you slept with a porn star? And what was the story behind that? And were there any sort of feelings about it afterwards?
I'm trying to think. Okay, so the first porn star I slept with was back in Chicago.
Okay.
And her and I just like met at the Burning Angel night that used to happen at the bar I used to hang out at.
What's a Burning Angel night?
So are you familiar with the production company Burning Angel?
I've seen its name in
Joanne places. Angel's old production company.
Yeah.
The bar I used to hang out in Chicago, there at the point there was 7 or 8 girls that shot for BA that lived in Chicago.
Okay.
And they used to throw a Burning Angel night on Tuesdays.
Mm.
So the girls would come out, they'd play porn on the fucking monitors. We drank, we'd have fun.
Okay.
I met one of the performers shortly after she moved to Chicago.
You're how old around this time?
29.
Okay.
I had to think about it.
Sure. Just frame of reference. Keep going.
Long time ago. And she just moved to Chicago. She's another fellow member of the tribe. So we hung out around Passover. We went out to dinner, hung out, went back to my place to watch movies. And like,
well, you're skipping over a lot of the whole spitting gate. This is the thing. So many dudes struggle with that first part that you just skipped over, where it's like you spoke to a beautiful woman, you conversed and somehow made an invitation, or someone makes an invitation. And so like a lot of times, like we may talk about like sex and what to do. And there are so many people who go, wait, but can we get to the part of how you got to the part you're talking about?
I mean, I'm getting to the banging. God damn it.
Oh, before the banging, like you had the confidence, you knew she's a porn star. You like just started hitting on a porn star.
Yeah, we hit it off. At that point, where the time she started coming around, I was a known commodity at this party. It's not like I'm just the dude hanging out on a bar.
And why were you a known commodity at this party?
At this point, professionally, I was just doing armed security.
Okay.
Forget I used to do that. I'm assuming.
I do forget that you used to do that. Don't you also have like a PI license?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of weird jobs.
Yes, you have. And did you do security for porn stars?
Yeah, that's how I got in.
So that's that fucking making me dig for it.
But that's how I got into the industry. That's not how I was at this party.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just checking. I was just, you know, people might be like, oh, why was he known commodity? Whatever. Fuck you.
No,
okay.
But at that point, I wasn't a known commodity because I was doing security for girls. I was just a known commodity because I had met the people that started hosting that night. So we get back to my place and we're just watching a movie. Like, it's just like a normal fucking first date.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden she pretty much just jumps on top of me. I'm like, oh, this is happening. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. I put in the work and I guess you want graphic details, huh?
No, you know, I can also phrase it this way. It's like, do you find sex with porn performers to be any different than with civilians?
Depends on the performer.
Okay.
Because I've definitely slept with performers who, while we were having sex, opened up to a camera that wasn't there. Like, what are you doing right now? Like, it's just muscle memory. It's just like, is that comfortable? Are you having a good time? Like, what is happening?
Oh my God, so sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it really was like that.
Snap out of it a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. They're like, sorry, you just like look like a director for a porno.
Apparently. But this time was a, you know, pretty normal, natural sex. Uh-huh. It was kind of a bummer that there was never really a discussion of like what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple points where like we'd be at the bar, we'd be at the Burning Angel night, and she'd go home with somebody else and was like, well, this is kind of a bummer. I'm right here.
Would she ever repeat?
These days, or I mean,
you know, well, back then. So it was like, was it ever like, oh, some nights she came home with me, some nights she went home with someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we were legitimately like kind of seeing each other for a minute.
Yeah, and like the and you never had any qualms about the work that she did.
I wouldn't like on a conscious level. No, like I knew what I signed up for.
Mm.
At the time, it was still something to like get comfortable with.
Mm.
So like I'd have like a kind of a knot in my stomach about it. But like consciously, I'm like, I know what I signed up for. Like, this is my issue. I got to get over this.
Mm.
This is not her fucking problem.
Where'd that maturity come from? Did you hear other girls like bring that type of thing up, or did you get there on your own?
I got there on my own.
Ah,
I mean,
an evolved man.
Almost fucking 30. And just it's hypocritical to be like, oh, you were doing this thing when we met. You need to stop doing this thing now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even my girlfriend. How dare I fucking try to make that demand of you?
Sure.
And as I said, I was never upset with her about going home with someone else. I was just disappointed that she wasn't going home with me.
Mm. So sleeping with porn stars has never really, like, it's never seemed different. It's never seemed like a thing to you. It's just like a product of the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah. Exactly. They're just fucking people. It's just a job.
Is there any like difference to you, like whether it's in dating or in sex or
sex? Not so much in dating, because I am not a performer.
Uh-huh.
I have found that a lot of performers have fucking their guard up. Like they're waiting for the other shoe to fucking drop.
Uh-huh.
Like sex is fine, but when like there's actual fucking feelings,
mm-hmm.
they are just like, oh, this dude talks a big game about it. It's cool. Like, he's okay with this. And I feel like there's just like, they're waiting. Any second now, he's going to flip out and be like, you can't go to work tomorrow.
He's going to yell at me and call me a whore. Just right. Like one day, it's just going to happen.
It's like, nah,
nah,
not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that much.
Okay. Do you ever like find yourself like measuring yourself up against the male talent you know they work with?
Fuck no. I have said this on record multiple times. If they're here now, this is where they want to be.
Uh-huh. Has it ever had like things go bad and it came back to work?
Not specifically, but I've definitely had things go bad where it's just like, oh, we now avoid each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do
I
that.
Think I've heard about that one. But do, please remind me.
For sure. Thank you for the peanut gallery. Literally eating peanuts.
Appreciate you.
The peanut gallery is literally eating peanuts right now. So, that is brought to you by the voice of the redacted episode. Speaking of when it did go wrong, that one counts as going wrong. I have a performer on. And while we're doing the podcast, she propositions me multiple times.
Like what?
Like, so when are you going to fuck me?
Just like out of nowhere.
It was a little more flirtatious than that, but it wasn't much more flirtatious than that.
Okay.
And
which performer was this again?
I'm keeping her name out of...
Okay.
I'm trying to tell the story. And I paused the recorder at one point after like the second or third. Would you like some?
I'm just looking. Maybe.
Pour yourself some.
I haven't decided yet. I
might need pour yourself some.
Go, okay. You tell the story, I'm going to get another glass of water, and then I'll drink.
Okay.
Malort, I'll pour it for you. I'm not doing Malort
again. We have barrel-aged Malort now.
I think we have a video of that.
We do. You started the trend.
Behind the scenes.
I pause the recorder, and I ask her, I'm like, yo, are you doing a bit right now, or are you being serious? She kind of goes, tee-hee. Well, that depends on you. I'm like, if you're being serious, I'm down.
Because, like, you don't want to misread a bit and then, like, cross boundaries because
you are at work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
So, and she's like, well, that depends on you. I'm like, if you're down, I'm down. So we start messing around and we go back to my room. We bang it out.
You haven't finished the episode yet.
We don't even finish the episode.
What a sin.
Oh, don't worry.
I would finish.
Don't worry. Don't worry. So we bang it out. We finish. And she's like, oh, that was fun. I'm like, you know we have to finish the show, right? So we get back on and talk about it.
Okay.
This woman describes how my cum tastes towards the wrapping up of the episode.
Okay.
I think everything's fine. I kissed her goodnight after, you know, afterwards, as a gentleman does.
Okay.
2 weeks after recording, 4 days after it airs, I get a text message that says, I sound like an idiot. Please, I sound like an idiot. Take that down. Not even a please. There's no please involved.
Right.
I go, no problem.
Really?
I pull it down.
I just want Manor podcast listeners to know I am not that kind.
I want people to feel comfortable when they come to the show.
I just think that if when I go do other people's things, they make me responsible for the words that came out of my mouth. So I just feel like, hey, look, I'll set up boundaries beforehand. I'll ask you what you don't want to talk about. I didn't ask you because I don't care about. No,
I'm a professional and I won't say
it's anything. More like, look, I'm not going to make anyone say anything they don't want to say. So I always tell people before we start, hey, what's off limits? And if I ask something you don't want to answer, just say you don't want to answer it. But like, I'm not treating people with kid gloves. Like we're all adults.
The difference is people are drinking while they do my show.
Sure, sure, sure. That's very fair. Yes. That's very nice of you.
So I always give people that caveat. Like, if there's anything you want cut from the show, I'll cut it.
Oh, sure. And before that is also a way more convenient time to do so.
Right. But because she didn't even say thank you when I'm like, I'll take it down. Like, no questions asked. No trying to convince her to keep it up. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it down. No problem. Not even as much of a thank you.
Did she say what she thought? She no. sounded dumb. Is it the fact that she banged you? Is that what she was embarrassed by?
I think so. So what I did was I had Brandon Brocato. I printed a transcript.
Right.
And he listened to her original dialogue in the cans. And he re-recorded her whole part and I mixed it down with my original dialogue.
Brilliant.
And we never released her name.
Right. We just edited it out. I didn't mention who it was.
I love that.
So you have that throat cancery ass voice talking about how my cum tastes.
Delicious.
That's actually, I believe, a direct quote.
On and it's still. I still, you know, I wanted to say on and now we drink and it's still uncomfortable. It doesn't flow.
I mean, you could just go A and WD.
Did you ever think of not having, anyways.
You know that's not the original name of the podcast,
no,
right?
I don't know this.
What could you do in your research?
I know you. I didn't need to do research.
And now we drink.
I know that you look like you do and you've slept with a lot of porn stars. That's plenty to work with.
Fair. The original name of the podcast was the 288 Podcast, which is a horrible name.
The two what?
288 Podcast.
Why?
That's also bad.
No, it's horrible. It's a horrible fucking name.
But and now we drink. It's just hard to put in a sentence. It's go in a very specific order. That's not important. So what was the fallout with the porn star?
Nothing. She just stopped speaking to me.
Okay. I mean, have there been any other sexual mishaps with the porn people?
I mean, there was the performer I almost married at AVN 14.
Wait, what now?
You never heard the story?
No. I met you in 2018. Don't you remember? You just reminded me.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell a lot of fucking stories.
I know. Tell me.
So, AVN, actually, you'll appreciate this because I'll give you the full unabridged version of the AVN 14 story.
Okay, but real quick, is this like a fake? Like, was this like you were going to marry someone or this was like a bit?
This is very drunk and it almost happened.
Okay.
It was a bit that almost went awry.
Sure.
And there's also a bunch of sex in it. I don't know why I'm giving you the cliff notes of the story I'm about to tell you. It's bad podcasting.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize that this is bad podcasting.
Right? I thought you've done this before.
I have. That's why I recognize
it's bad podcasting. You want to try again?
No, I'm just going to keep.
We can start over.
Hi, I'm Matt Slayer. How are you doing this evening, Billy Presida? And we'll take it from one.
Okay. Tell me what happened.
AVN 14. At that point, I ditched the award show every year. Like,
ditched the award show or don't have an invite to the award show?
Ditched.
Okay.
Ditched. Thank you. So me and my friends end up at a swingers party at the hotel across the street from the Hard Rock.
Okay.
We are just there to drink their booze. This is not the best looking swingers crowd you've ever seen.
Oh, right. Because isn't there like a swinger convention like the same weekend as AVN?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were at Rumor, which was the hotel across the street from the Hard Rock.
Right.
So we just literally went across to Bottle Rat off the swingers.
Okay.
We're just sitting there poolside drinking their booze, hanging out. And these swingers that one of my buddies had met some point over the weekend, I do not know where the connection there happened, come up and start hanging out with us. one of these swingers, I to this day do not know her real name. I don't even know her name. She's like, I don't even know the name she went by. I think she went by like fucking Valkyrie because she was a Viking super fan. But she plops down right on top of me on the poolside chair. And it's just like, we're all hanging out. She's kind of nuzzling up to me. And one of her friends is bitching. She's like, Valkyrie over there hasn't gotten laid all weekend. I'm like, I can help with that. And this girl basically just starts dry humping me in front of everybody.
This is a swinger, not the porn star.
Correct. Okay. We're getting there.
I'm just following.
So I end up taking her into a cabana and banging it out like poolside. Outdoor cabana sex is really uncomfortable. I could not pop.
Outdoor commando sex?
Cabana.
Oh, cabana sex. Okay.
Really uncomfortable.
And why is it so uncomfortable?
It's just hard to get a good position to, you know, get the rhythm right to finish.
Okay.
So I suggest we go back to her room since she's staying at this hotel. She pulls her panties back up. We skip through the lobby up to her room. Turns out she is sharing a room with another couple.
Naturally.
Of course. It's a swingers convention.
Yeah. Silly you.
Silly me. She gets naked and hops into bed with them. I'm just sitting on the couch in the room like, what have I gotten myself into?
And why are you thinking that?
Because these are not attractive people.
Oh, okay. See, I would sometimes, like, I feel like, again, maybe this is just me telling it myself. My first thing would be like, wow, like, am I up to snuff for what's about to happen?
Well, there was definitely some of that, too. Just like, I don't know what's about to happen.
It's like, I showed up to bang you. I didn't show up to, that was like, so it's almost a bait and switch. It's, and you don't want to, like, be mean and say, like, look, I just don't want to fuck these two people. But also, like, that's what's going on.
Yeah, eventually I get coaxed into bed with the other three of them. Get into bed with them, and we're just, I'm not initiating anything, so I'm just hanging out in bed with three other people.
While they fool around?
No one's just, okay. We're just kind of casually all hanging out in bed.
So you killed a vibe?
Yes, 100%. Okay. But Valkyrie then took it upon herself to start blowing me in front of them.
Great.
But, okay, this I'm okay with. You two don't touch me. I didn't say it out loud, I just, the thought process. Eventually, she gets up to excuse herself to go to the bathroom, and I accompany her into the bathroom. We finally bang it out, finish up, and I am out the door as fast as it takes me to pull my pants up.
Okay.
I'm just like, okay, this is not where I wanted to be today, but I'm here. Time to go. Meet back up with my friends that I was drinking with, relay the story like, that was fucking a weird turn of events. Was not expecting that. We then end up meeting up with this performer who is at a different hotel and meet up with her, keep drinking. She goes, this is my first trip to Vegas. I should have a quickie wedding. And I am drunk at this point. And I go, fuck it. I'm in. Her and I proceed to PDA all over the casino. It started off with our various friends groups taking bets if it would happen or not. Okay. And then eventually ended with them all abandoning us because we were just sloppily like going at it on the casino floor. We end up going back up to her room. The girl she was sharing the room with brings back another dude.
Naturally. It's AVN.
Right. The four of us hang out for a little bit. And then they're like, oh, we're going to take off for a little while so you two could bang. And my drunk ass was like, ha ha, that's really funny. Like, it was like a pleasant surprise because like the minute they walked out the door, it was on.
Okay.
But in my head, I'm just like, oh, we've been messing around and talking about getting married. Why are we going to fuck?
Why are you going to fuck? Because of this personality. Closing personality.
Shit. I didn't close shit there. She closed. She closed.
And what was her name again?
That was Zara Angel.
Zara Angel. Okay. Yeah.
I have no problems saying her name because that one's pretty well publicized.
Because y'all are married.
Almost. We did get a wedding certificate.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fucking.
We're getting there. Okay. So we bang it out. A little hazy. But the next morning I come to, she's wearing a Pokemon onesie with no crotch. We both kind of sobered up. And she's just like, do we really want to? I'm like, I mean, we go to the Burning Angel brunch where there are bottomless Bloody Marys. When we got drunk again, it all of a sudden seemed like a good idea again. We announced it to Joanna Angel and the whole Burning Angel brunch that we were getting married right after brunch. After brunch, my buddy Mark drives us to the Clark County Courthouse. We get the wedding license. It exists. It's a thing. We then tried to go to the Kiss Chapel, which was not readily available. And because we couldn't make it to the Kiss Chapel, we went back to where we were individually staying. We sobered up a little bit, and then she left me at the altar via text.
Via text?
Yeah. She's like, somehow my mom found out, and she's really mad, so I don't think I'm going to do this.
No. Also, did she quit porn?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's the other thing. It's like, how many of the porn gals that you slept with, like, still do it?
Not many.
Not many. It's a lot of turnover in this industry.
Yeah. There's a lot of turnover. I mean, there's a fair amount that still do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that, yeah, over the years have, you know, come and gone.
When you're hanging out with porn stars, like, in this kind of capacity, I mean, like, do any of them ever, like, try to talk over, like, should I get out with you? Like,
no, but on the flip side, I did piss off a girl I was seeing for a little while by asking her, like, what her performer plan was.
Oh.
And she got real mad at me about it. Real mad. Though she never voiced that she was mad to me about it, she just talked shit about me to a bunch of other people how dare I ask her about that? Needless to say, that one didn't go super well either.
I can imagine.
And it's kind of a bummer because, like, that girl is mutual friends with a good friend of mine, and that friend is basically not allowed to hang out with me because of her friend I fucked. I definitely wouldn't have fucked your friend if it was going to negatively impact our friendship.
Yeah. You're like, well, like, yeah. Sex not gonna be worth more than that. What are you looking for now in dating? Like, I know you're single. What's going on?
It's a mixed bag, man. It's just a confusing mixed bag at times. Because every once in a while, it's just like, well, it'd be nice to, you know, actually, you know, date somebody. And then I think about it for a minute, like, do I really have time? Do I really have time? Am I really gonna end up neglecting this person and being the bad guy here?
Why would you be neglectful?
Because I have a lot of shit going on. I don't have a lot of free time.
Okay.
And I'm not sure I'd actually be able to pull myself away from the other shit I got going on to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been single for so long and I am so set in my ways and so much shit is based around this is my routine. Adding that into my routine, I don't know if I'd be able to break myself of my current routine.
I mean, is that just a cop out to not go out and try?
Oh, I still try.
Well, I mean, I don't mean trying to get laid. I mean, like, trying to, you know, find love and shit.
It might be, but I, you know, it's also historically I've done that before. I've also been neglectful because I'm bad at breaking up my routine.
I mean, like, do you really want, but.
Well, and that's the reality of the situation is I don't really know. Like, I'm not unhappy being single.
That's going to require an ice cube.
I don't drink on my podcast.
Well, you should. You have better practice.
I have. It's just not frequent. So, yeah, but, like, you're not happy. I mean, I guess, like, are you getting laid? Like,
I mean, are you just good with how things are?
I could always be getting laid more.
I thought I could say that, but then I'm like, I know I say it in the other way. Like, I could be getting laid more as in, like, because I'm, like, kind of choosing not to. And I haven't been getting laid because, like, I haven't been, like, really. I want to get laid. It has been adjusting over time as I've been, like, backing off the pot and, like, less, like, junk food. This month I didn't eat carbs for, like, 18 days. And, like, I felt good. And I felt, like, a little more. I've been saying viral, but I just recently learned that's not how you're not supposed to say it. Viral.
The fucking viral is, you know, what you give to people.
Well, I thought it was a homophone. Like, I thought it was, like, you know, so anyways. So I kind of want it more, but I really feel like I just want, like, a connection. I want, like, I don't want to be alone. Because, like, if I fuck, that's cool and all, but they leave.
I tell myself that would be nice. But when I step back from it for a moment, I'm like, would it really be nice? Or am I just, like, thinking, like, the grass is greener on the other side.
Okay.
Is this really what I want? Is it really? I don't know. I get in my head sometimes where it's just like, occasionally I'll attract women that, like, I fuck around with, and it's just like, oh, I'm just doing it because they're giving me attention. And then after the fact, it's just like, that is not really where I wanted to be.
I remember there was a chick who, like, fucked you up a bit in terms of, like, you were, like, after that breakup, like, you were fucked up for a while.
Well, and that wasn't even really a breakup that time around.
Right. But there's a lot of like, there was like a lot in out.
Well, there's just a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Whole lot of history.
Wasn't even in porn.
No.
Crazy.
I know.
You sleep with civilians.
Well, I mean, she was a civilian I slept with before I ever got into porn. So. Or I guess.
Have you heard from her?
No. I blocked her on everything around my birthday in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, I came home drunk, on acid. And as I was walking home, watching the beautiful colors, reflecting on life, went, she couldn't even bother to text me on my birthday and fucking cut all contact.
Okay. And have you been in love since then?
No. Definitely not.
Okay.
I have made a handful of decent dick choices and some poor dick choices in the meantime. And I'm trying to be better about not making the poor dick choices.
Okay.
There's this woman I met at a bar, civilian. Met at a bar, I don't even know when. Somehow exchanged contact information. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she just started sending me nudes and fucking snaps of her fucking masturbating and shit.
This fucking personality, man.
At first, I was just like, well, fuck it. She seems like she's down to fuck. Like, I should just do the thing. This isn't necessarily where I want to be. But, and then I, more and more, I thought about it. I was like, nah. Because, like, I'm potentially fucking with someone who, though she's presenting this as purely a sex thing, may not be purely a sex thing. Who knows? I don't know where this person's headspace is. And I have no intention of possibly just fucking her. This is not where I should be. And then a couple times I got drunk and almost took her up on it. And then she kind of Lucy in the footballed me a couple times. I'm just like, no, I'm not fucking around with this.
And are you like on apps or anything like that?
I am. I'm window shopping. I'm completely window shopping.
Okay.
It's one of those things where, like, as much as I am a talky motherfucker, half the time when I do match with someone, it's just like, there's nothing in your profile, so all I can talk about is your fucking looks.
Yeah, I do. I am at the maturity level where a lot of the time I will swipe left on, I don't care if you're hot, I will still swipe left on, like, a blank profile, like, 70% of the time.
See, I don't look that hard until I've actually matched.
Oh, no, that's where I'm at right now, where I'm like, I am looking for words. Honestly, I don't read the whole profile sometimes. If you had enough words, if I see three words in a paragraph I like, I'm also just happy you wrote something. We'll figure it out later. Right, you know? There's been a lot of hot women I swiped left on because I'm like, okay, we match. What do we? I got nothing to go on. Bumble, I'll do it because, yeah, well, fine. You have to open. But like,
yeah, but they Tinder, generally open with fucking hi.
Oh, anytime a chick on Bumble says hi, I just say hey. If she says hey, I say hi. I'd be like, you're not going to pass this baton. This is your app, okay? And, you know, I voted for Hillary, and it's your turn to open. So that's what this place is for. but yeah, no, Tinder, I'm always looking to see if, like, they wrote fucking anything. Anything. And then also if they say, like, no E&M, I also look for that.
See, I look for if it says Christian, and then I swipe left.
Sure, that's also another good
reason. Like, if you are flat out religious, like, if you're advertising, I don't care in your personal life if you are religious. That's fine. But if you're like, my faith is something that I need to advertise, this isn't going to work.
Okay. Let's do a little bonus episode about, like, interviewing porn stars. It will be behind a paywall where we're safe. But it's also something we can both really relate to, and I definitely think we probably have some opinions on. But for now... that'll come out tomorrow for my $5 and up members. But for now, where can people go to find you, follow you, check out your stuff, bang your hot personality?
Well, you can find me at Matt_Slayer on Twitter, Matt Slayer on Instagram, Matt F. and Slayer on Facebook, twitch.tv/MattFandSlayer if you want to watch me live stream on occasion. You can join my Patreon too. I like money at patreon.com/MattSlayer. You can find the podcast at And Now We Drink on Twitter and Now We Drink_ on Instagram. I think that about covers it. I technically have an OnlyFans, but I'm not verified yet, so there's no content there.
You haven't shot content with, like, one of these chicks?
Oh, I have no intention of putting my dick on the internet. Like,
oh.
I was just going to fucking put Now I Drink content on OnlyFans.
Maybe I took the prompt too literally. Oops.
That's the idea. That's the idea, that people will sign a little bait and switch.
Oh, no. I, like, just fully put it on there.
Why? Have you banged on your OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Cool. No judgment.
Yeah.
It's one of those things at this point. Like, I have no moral qualms about being a sex worker or, like, doing sex work. It's just one of those things where, like, kind of like the rest of my routine. I've said no for so long, it feels weird to say yes now.
For me, it was like I didn't want to do it and fail because that would have felt embarrassing. Like, I was like, this is kind of like with the podcast, putting my dick on the internet. It was like, no, this has to work. This has to be widely taken in. Otherwise, it's embarrassing. For like, it's one thing when a joke bombs, my dick bombs. No, thank you. But folks, I'll have a link to a chunk of that stuff in the show notes. Patreon people will talk to you some more tomorrow. But for now, Matt, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody?
Well, thank you for tuning in, everyone. And until next week, drink up, motherfuckers.
Do you just do your own sign-off?
I just do my own sign-off. It's such fucking bad. That was muscle memory.
That's bad. You can just let that keep running, but that's disgusting.
Well, I'm glad you've made it to an end of an Inawi drink that you know how I sign off.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You've lived them. Shit.
You know the drill. Stick around. You'll get some more of me and Matt. A little teaser of tomorrow's bonus episode out exclusively on Patreon. But for now, the best place you can discuss this week's show is in the episode discussion channel in the Champagne Room. The Champagne Room is our super free, super fun, super sex positive Discord server. And you can introduce yourself today at manwhorepod.com/discord. You can also email me your comments, your questions, your criticisms, your titty pictures to manwhorepod@gmail.com. Need some advice? Need an opinion? Send an email. Get the opinion of a guy whose relationships consistently do not work out. I'm sure he has wonders to share. You can support the Man Whore Podcast as well as independent bookstores when you purchase your reading materials at bookshop.org. At mybookshop.org link, every book you buy is at an affordable price and comes from an indie bookseller. And your fourth favorite podcaster, he gets a little taste at the end as well. Link to that in the schnotes or go to bookshop.org/shop/Billy. See why you just go to the schnotes. You don't have to remember all that. All the different financial ways you can support the Man Whore Podcast, they're in there in the show notes, my Venmo, my Cash App, the Patreon experience. It's too... Remember that gag last week? Drawer, I pretend I'm rummaging around. It's $2. Caff it up, kid, at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. $2. Do it. And stay slutty.
Well, like any podcast, not everyone's a fucking winner.
Damn right. Behind the paywall, I'll say it.
Billy's like, this is all behind the paywall. Matt's episode's a fucking shit show.
It's okay, because like, here's the thing about the porn star guests. And look, I've had the two of the episodes that I chose not to air were comedian episodes. Comedians can be like this too, but like, I find that the rate with the porn stars, it's wild how like some of them are just like not good talkers. Some of them are fucking great. Some of them are Brittany Andrews, and some of them... fucking, you know.
Oh, that, name a name. Come on, name a name.
That person who I've had on the show twice, and only one was on the main feed. And if I had my druthers, both would have been behind the paywall. But, you know, got a publicist who's very popular.